I'm a little uncomfortable about putting myself in a story, but I have to say, as a person of color, even I don't know how to react when there's a racist comment directed to me or I hear a bigoted remark directed toward others. What advice do you have?
Jackie, it's really important in those moments to understand that first you are likely shocked. The first response is actually to remain silent, to pretend that it didn't happen. There are times when we shut down that could be an opportunity for a harder dialogue. When a bigoted remark, whether we're talking about racism or homophobia or other forms of bigotry, are put out there by friends and families and colleagues, I encourage people to take a deep breath and to first ask themselves, what might be the best way to respond? It may be with an ouch, by just literally saying, ouch, that really hurt. Or it might be actually saying to other people, did you hear what just got said? That was really uncomfortable. And then you need to state a specific reason why it was uncomfortable. Often bigoted remarks get said unconsciously. People aren't aware that they've said something that is hurtful. And it's important for us when we engage in a conversation to try to be clear about why we found the comment problematic.
Now, this is certainly in a situation, Eric, that's I'd call safe. Again, it's around the dinner table. Your organization talks about a response to hate groups. What if the situation where these remarks are being thrown about happen at, say, a parade, and there's a potential for violence?
The first is it's important to engage with the victim. Harassers often pick people who appear alone and vulnerable, pretend to be someone's friend, or otherwise engage with the target to make it clear that the harasser chose wrong. Another thing you might do is to contact authorities, ask for help. Take advantage by calling on others who are witnessing the scene to take action. Turn the tide from one quiet tolerance to one hostile to the harasser. The harasser may expect you to act on their level. In fact, act in different ways, with warm, be friendly, use sympathetic words and body language. You can disorient the attacker and perhaps defuse the situation and get the victim away. What's most important, though, is that we don't remain silent. Start saying pizza delivery is here. Talk about things that are completely unrelated. Do not directly challenge the attacker. Our role is to make sure that the potential victim is safe.
Is it ever a good idea to just ask the person who is saying either a racist or bigoted remark, why do you think this way, and try to gain understanding at how they came to their viewpoints?
So it depends on the level of tension. If these are close friends or family or colleagues, if there is not a strong tension of potential physical violence, it can be useful if you want to engage in a conversation. But the way that I would start the conversation is not by saying, you know, tell me why you feel that way. What I might say instead is, tell me a little bit more about what you mean. The difference is very subtle, but really important. When you say to someone, tell me why you feel that way, in some ways you are setting down a challenge around a conversation that most of us have not had experience having. Most of America believes that it talks about race or other forms of bigotry a lot, but in fact, we don't. We don't have a lot of practice. So by shifting the conversation to simply just saying, tell me more about what you mean, what you are doing is opening up the space for that person to share a little bit more about why they use that comment. But if we open that space, we have to be prepared to hear things that we might find more offensive or things that make us extremely uncomfortable. So we also, as individuals, when we invite that type of conversation, have to be willing to sit with people for where they are. And it may be that we only have a very small portion of that conversation to try to reflect back our own values. So we just have to be prepared when we invite that type of conversation. But I think it is critically important. If we are seeking to create a nation that is more people-centered, transparent, and accountable, one of the bravest things that we can do is to begin to open up space for a conversation that is happening anyway behind closed doors.
So interesting. You're coming to Montana as a speaker to mark Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And it doesn't matter if you're a liberal or a conservative or a person of color or a person not. I hear a lot of language that I hate. I hate the other side. How do we get past that?
There is so much division in our society today, and much of it is fueled at the federal level. We have always been a passionate country. We have argued passionately since our very formation. We have hard history, but we also have history when we rise up together and transform this country and move it forward together. But we are in one of these moments right now where the debate is around who is an American and what will America look like. And that debate is around values of inclusion versus values of exclusion. My sense at the end of the day is that we have to be willing to sit in that uncomfortability, that we have to understand that sometimes we won't agree. But at the end of the day, I do believe that if we all remember that for the majority of Americans, we all embrace the idea that everyone has the right to live, love, and work free from bigotry, that all of us should have the opportunity to make a better life. When we remind ourselves that the majority of Americans hold those values, then our disagreements are really about how we best move the country forward, rather than debates around who is really an American and who isn't. My sense is that this debate happening in our country is so critical. And it is a debate that is unavoidable. And so it's important to create spaces where we can practice having this conversation, where we can practice trying to remember our common ground and understand at the end of the day, we all want a better life for our family and children, that we want to move this country forward together.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Eric Ward, Executive Director of Western State Center, for talking with us.
Thank you so much.